If you have your scriptures this morning, and I know that you do, I'm glad this is a Christmas season, but I'm giving a Thanksgiving message because I think that we just need to give thanks. In fact, I'm convinced we need not just to give thanks, but we need to live thanks. Not Thanksgiving, thanks living. And so, if you have your Bible, Psalm 116. I'm glad this morning that it's Christmas time too, because I'm seeing the commercials on TV. I could tell it was Christmas time because I'm seeing the advertisement for the clapper. Yes, clap on, clap off the clapper. That's right. I'm glad that one's there. And the chia pets. Have you seen the chia pets this time of the year? I'm buying an Obama head. They have them out there. The presidential chia pet. I'm going to get one of those. All right, and I'm going to give it away to a friend of mine, all right. Verse 1 of Psalm 116 starts out in this fashion. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because the Lord turned His ear to me, I will call on Him for as long as I live. The cords of death had entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by sorrow and trouble. Then I cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, save me!" The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord helps the simple heart. The Lord protects the simple hearted. When I was in great need, the Lord saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for you have been good to me. For you, O Lord, have saved my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, and therefore I said, I have been greatly afflicted. And I believed and said that all men were liars. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness toward me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And I will fulfill my vows before the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maid servant, and You have freed me from my chains. I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in Your midst, O Jerusalem, hallelujah, praise the Lord. A great psalm because it starts out because the psalmist was in dire need. I love the Lord. It's important to know why you love the Lord today. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. He heard my voice. Why? Because the cords of death had entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. You know, I can't help but think that that verse would probably be maybe the life verse for some of you. You say, well, that's a pretty depressing life verse. You know, it seems as though we get ourselves into some real tight jams sometimes. And maybe this year, you have felt the cords of death just kind of get you tangled up in your feet. And it felt like it tripped you up. Last week, many of you thought I went hunting. Because last week is my week to normally go hunting. But there was no pastor's conference last week, and so I went to church. But I know that walking through the woods, it's easy to get tangled up in the vines that crawl through the floor of the forest. And I've been known to trip a time or two. trying to get through them. I understand what getting tangled up in the cords can do to a person. They trip you up and they discourage you. And I don't know what's tripped you up today. The psalmist, when he wrote this, felt as though he were at the point of death. The anguish of the grave. He was desperate. This was a man who had problems. This was a man who thought his life was about to end. And maybe you've been in that place. You thought your life was about to end. That your world was going to come crashing down on you. Maybe you received a diagnosis that you didn't really expect to hear from a doctor. Maybe a friend or a loved one of yours received that diagnosis, and now you are alarmed. Maybe you are one of the ones in our country that has been unemployed for such a long period of time, and you wonder, will it ever let up? Will I ever find a job? And you wonder, am I ever going to make it? How do I make it through the Christmas season without a job? Christmas is the time of giving gifts. It's the time of sharing and celebrating. But if you don't have a job, you're not celebrating right now. In fact, you're kind of a little put out with those who could or can celebrate. Why them, not me? I don't know what your problem has been this year. Has it been an emotional problem? You felt depressed. You felt alone. You felt like no one loves you. And frankly, you've thought about suicide. You've thought about taking your own life. You have been to that point in your life. And you said, can anybody help? I'm here to tell you today, there is someone who can help. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why the psalmist said, Lord, that's when I cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Lord, I only have you to look up to. God, other people have tried to help and it's failed miserably. I've tried to solve problems of my own and it's fallen flat on its face. God, you are the only one who can really lift me up. My church can't help me. My preacher can't help me. My friends can't help me. No one can help me. God, only you can help me. And you call out to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is gracious. Aren't you thankful today for God's graciousness to us? I mean, really, you are here today. We are here today at God's good pleasure. You ever think about that? That any one of us, right now, this instant, could stop, their heart could stop just that quickly. We sometimes think that, oh, we'll live long enough, I'll have some kind of a deathbed experience, and things will come to me, and I'll try to get my life right with God. I'm telling you, now's the time to get your life right with God, because our God is gracious. He will extend your life. He has extended it even to this day. But He's righteous. Please understand this about God. God has no hidden agenda for you. No hidden agenda in His Word. When, you know, other people have a hidden agenda. You know, you do this, and I'll do this. You follow through on this end, and I'll make sure I follow through on this end. God has no agenda, secret agenda for you. Because He is righteous. He is right in every one of His ways. He thinks rightly. He wants the best for you. Imagine, the God of the universe has taken time today to say, I want what is best for you. Put your name there. In fact, let's put our name there. When I say the statement, God wants to do His best for me, I want you to put your name there, okay? God wants to do His best for... Everyone say, God wants to do. God wants to do His best for Dave. Understand that. Hear yourself say that, because that is exactly what God has for you. God has not designed your life to be full of misery and woe. That's why the psalmist cried out, God, my soul is so hurt that the grave has come upon me. I'm just overcome by trouble. Oh, my word. And sorrow. I cannot get a break anywhere in my life. But God, I'm going to call out to you, for you are gracious. You are righteous. Oh, our God is full of compassion. Our God is full of compassion. Our God is so full of compassion, he became one of us. I was telling my life group earlier today, I says, you know, in all other religions, in all other faiths, people are asked to give their lives for their God. In the Christian faith, it's just the reverse. Jesus doesn't ask us to give our lives in death for him. Jesus asks us to live our lives for him. He, the God of heaven and earth, is the one who has died. God died for me and you. Oh, he's full of compassion. He took pity on us. There isn't a problem that you face today, my friend, that my God hasn't gone through and suffered himself. You say, well, I've suffered rejection. No one likes me. No one talks to me. In fact, I was homesick, and the preacher didn't even call. Listen, we are so used to instant everything. I'm glad for microwave ovens. I really am. I can heat up a cup of water in a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I love the instantness of popcorn. I love the instant stuff of just heating things up. I want everything now when I'm ready to go, right? I'm ready to go. Let's go. Some people have been to surgery, and they said, Pastor, I was in the hospital having surgery, and you never visited me. Margaret, you were only there for 20 minutes. It was day surgery. What do you want? I just didn't know. My God is full of compassion. So he understands every hurt that you've experienced. Are you alone? A lot of widows, widowers, sense this time of aloneness this year. Hey, some of you won't even decorate your house for Christmas this year because you're that alone. Can I let you know that Jesus experienced what loneliness was all about? He had given his life for 3 solid years to 12 men. One of them betrayed him. The other 11 fled from him when the going got tough. Even his own father, as he hung on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. Jesus knows what aloneness is all about. Jesus knows what it is to be penniless. For 40 days out in a desert, what did he have to eat? What did he have to drink? Only what God provided for him. And he survived. Oh yeah, but he was God. No, he survived because he depended on God's provision for him. And that's the truth. Jesus didn't survive 40 days in the desert because he was God. He survived 40 days because his Father provided for him. Hey, what are you suffering today that you feel God hasn't provided for you for? Give him a chance. Put your faith in him and allow him to meet your need. Don't reach in the back pocket every time and grab the plastic. Allow God to meet the need. Allow him to show himself to be God to you. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. Hello. Can anyone identify with being simple-hearted? Here I am, you know. When I was in great need, the Lord saved me. That's true. You know, there's an old proverb in our culture that says, God helps those who what? and you live it, and you believe it's somewhere in the Bible. You believe it's in the book of Hezekiah, chapter 3. You have looked for it. Chapter 2. Okay, I stand corrected. Hezekiah, chapter 2. Some of you right now are in the front of your books. Is there a Hezekiah? Yeah. I want to let you know that God protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, the Lord saved me. So be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Have you felt the refreshment of God in your life lately? Be at rest. I love the phrase, be at rest once more. Well, what do you mean, once more? Well, right now, I'm not feeling at rest. Right now, I'm kind of worked up. Right now, I'm kind of nervous. I'm kind of anxious. I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of in despair. I'm kind of frustrated. I'm very much afraid. I am insecure. I am going through all kinds of junk right now. Be at rest once more, which means something in my life has gotten in and it's got it all stirred up. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For Lord, you have kept my soul from dying. You have preserved my soul. You have kept my eyes from tears and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know what God expects of you when he meets your need? You know what God expects of me? He expects me to demonstrate his faithfulness to everyone I come in contact with. Lord, you have allowed me to live and reflect your glory in the land of the living. God, you've preserved my life. God, you've answered my prayer. God, you've met my need. Therefore, I'm going to trust you in everything. Because I believed, I was in great and being greatly afflicted. In my dismay, I said, all men are liars. That was what happened to me when I couldn't see what was up and what was down. I couldn't make heads or tails of my life. I was struggling. I was like a kite cut loose in the wind without a tail. I just tumbling and tumbling and falling and hitting. So God answered my prayer. God met our need. Therefore, how can I repay the Lord for the goodness he has shown to me? It's the time of giving this year. Have you ever thought, what are you going to do special for the Lord? I know right now, look, you are working up on how you're going to buy presents for all of the relatives, all of your friends, everyone that you think you owe a gift to. How can I repay the Lord? How can I repay him? What can I do that God would accept? What gift can I give? Oh, I know what I'll give. Give, God, I will offer up the cup of salvation. God, I will call upon your name, and I'm going to fulfill my vows before the Lord in the presence of your people. What am I going to offer God? God, you have called me to salvation. I'm going to show to people that I am saved, that God has changed my life, that I rest not in my own abilities and my own accomplishments, but I rest in the accomplishments and the provisions of God Almighty. God, I'm going to lift up my salvation because I promised you that the day I prayed to receive Christ, that you were to come into my life and that I was going to give my life to you. And God, I've messed up on that promise. I've taken my life back in so many ways, and it's wrong. God, I'm going to offer up my life, a cup of salvation, and I'm going to fulfill the vow that I made to you the day I prayed to receive Christ, that I'm going to live for you forever. No holding back. Why? Because I'm going to fulfill that vow. And who am I going to fulfill it to? The people of God. I want to go back to church. I long to get back to the temple. I long to get back with the people so that they can attest that I've lifted up my cup of salvation and I'm now fulfilling the vows. I'm going to live a Christian life. And you know what? The church is going to help me live that Christian life. They're going to hold me to accountability. That's what we need a little bit more of, I think. A little bit more of accountability. Not to play the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Far be it from that to happen. But folks, if you're living life and you're living it large and you're living it wrong, someone needs to step up to you and say, hey, pay attention to what's going on. This isn't right in the Christian realm in any way that you cut it. Stop it. So I'm going to live, offer up the cup of salvation. Because, catch this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his loved ones. That word precious means this, that it's carefully attended to. I want to let you know that when it comes time for you to fall asleep, that God has carefully attended to your rest. He has prepared a place for you. Because he loves you. And I want to let you know something, that when a believer dies, God takes no pleasure in that. But it's precious when a believer can enter into rest at peace with God. Right? Absolutely. Oh, Lord, I am your servant. Lord, I'm the servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have freed me from my chains. God, I was a slave to sin. God, I was a slave to my own life. And you know what you've done? You've freed me. You've released me. I now have life worth living. That is exciting. So I will offer up a sacrifice of thanks to you. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. How are you thanking the Lord this year? What are you doing to thank the Lord this year? Thanksgiving was Thursday. And I promise you, Thanksgiving, one day a week, one day a year, is no way to live a life of thankfulness to God every day. Because that's what he demands. That's what the psalmist said, Lord, because you have saved me from something desperate in my life. I'm now going to live a thankful life. A thankful life. Understand the ramifications of that, would you please? A thankful life means, Lord, whatever comes my way, I'm going to say thank you for. Why? Because you prepared it especially for me. Lord, you prepared me to be without work for a year. And you know what God says? Yes. God, you have prepared for me to be diagnosed with cancer or heart disease or tumors. Yes, I have. We can't understand that. That doesn't compute because we believe that if we're Christians, if we are obedient to the Word of God, that in some way God owes us health, wealth, and success. And I want to let you know, God does not owe us a blessed thing. He has already given me more than I deserve. He has given me eternal life in Jesus Christ. So whatever comes down the road, I just need to sit down, shut up, and watch God drive. Let God have his job. Let God do it. Sign in, sit down, and shut up. That's what you need to do. I've signed up for this ride, Lord. Now let me just rest in you. And I'm going to thank you. Why? Because you love me. There isn't anything in the world I would do to intentionally hurt the people I love. I would never, ever do that. Why? Because I love them. If God loves me just like I love my family and I love my friends, I would never intentionally do something to hurt them. You'd have to think, is God going to intentionally do something to hurt you? I answered a phone call a week ago Friday night from a young lady who was desperate, in tears. Her name popped up on the screen, on the caller ID, and I knew immediately who it was. And she said, "Pastor Dave, I don't know if you remember who I am." I said, "Certainly I remember who you are. I remember your husband. I remember where you work. I remember your mom. What a great family. You know, what's going on?" And then she broke down. "Pastor, I need your help." And she's in tears. I said, "Well, what can I do for you?" And she begins to tell me the story of a new baby in her life. She tells me the baby's name, and I said, "That's wonderful. Is the baby doing good?" "Yes." "Are you doing good?" "Yes." "What's the problem?" "Well, Pastor, you may not know this, but a number of years ago, I had an abortion. And I knew it was wrong. And I'm just so afraid that God is going to take my baby." And I said, "Dear, let me tell you something. God loves you. God loves you. He is not going to take that precious baby because of something you did years ago. Why? Because God loves you. God is not a vengeful God that holds a grudge and says, you killed a baby that was healthy, and now I'm going to take this healthy baby that you've seen and you've held and you've kissed and you've fed and you've nurtured, and I'm going to kill it. That's the kind of God you want to serve." I said, "Dear, God is not going to kill that baby." I said, "God will help preserve that baby's life and has used that sin 4 years ago to bring you to repentance today. To let me tell you again and affirm to you that God loves you beyond any shadow of a doubt." And that afternoon she prayed to receive Jesus over the phone for the very first time in her life. Why? Because God loves you. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I want to let you know something. Whatever it is, God is not to do you harm. God is out to do you good. That's why we thank God. We thank God for the difficulties that we sometimes face. And now that I've offered up my cup of salvation and I've called upon the name of the Lord, I'm going to once again fulfill my vows before the Lord in the presence of His people. That's what the psalmist says. And he's going to do that. He's going to do that so that people can see that he's now living a thankful life. It's one thing to let people know that you're living a saved life. But tell me, guys, are you really, truly thankful for what God is doing for you? Are you thankful for the difficulties that God has brought into your life? Do you count it all joy? "Well, preacher, these things that I'm going through, they really are very joyful. I'm not having a ball here." No, you're not. But I want to let you know something. God takes those things and He builds within you the very character of Christ. And for that, you ought to be very grateful. For that, this is another opportunity for you to grow in Jesus. Another troubling issue in life that He's trusted you with to pull through so that you can be the example to the people in the church and the people of the congregation that says, "Whatever comes my way, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus, because I'm going to give testimony and fulfill that thankful promise that I've made to you to live a life of thankfulness before the people." In the courts of the Lord, I think it's in the courts of the Lord Most High in Jerusalem. You see, the temple was the most precious place to the Jew. Still is even to this day. And so in its preciousness, the psalmist says, "Lord, I long to worship you at the temple." Oh, can I let you know something today? For those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, this church doesn't represent worship. This represents worship. That you can have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ right now here in the depths of your heart. And I'm going to make right. I'm going to worship the Lord my God in the midst of the temple, in the presence of the church. I'm going to worship and give testimony to my salvation, to give testimony to my thankful life in the presence of your people, O God. And he ends this with the words, what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God has been amazingly gracious to us. Our God has been abundantly kind. He deserves our faithfulness. He deserves our obedience. He deserves to us to live out our salvation, to live out our thankfulness, because he saved me from some junk in my life. Are you grateful that God has saved you from junk in your life? Let's pray. There's stuff that has happened in our life over the years, Father, since we've trusted Jesus as Savior, that has had a tendency to pull us down, to even feel like the psalmist did, to feel threatened, to feel afraid, to feel like death was upon him. But over the course of his life, he learned that he could once again have peace with you. And there are people in this room today that may not sense the real peace of God because they feel dirty. They feel like they've abandoned you. They feel alone, forgotten. But I need the Spirit of God to remind them that you love them with an everlasting love, and that there is nothing that they could have done or will do that will separate them from the love of God, for that you have promised in your word. And they need to have that assurance and promise right now, even as I'm praying. They need to see that as real. And so will you let them know that there's nothing so bad that they've done that you would ever turn your back on them? There's nothing so bad that they've done that you would want to get even with them for anything? Will you just let them know that they can be at rest once more? And then out of gratitude, they simply say, Lord, I'm going to live today just as a saved person ought to live. I'm going to live today just like it's the first day of my conversion experience, and I'm going to grow in Christ, and I'm going to mature, and I'm going to let people know that I love Jesus. And when desperate things come my way, I'm going to live a life of thankfulness. And I'm going to express that thankfulness to you. And I'm going to give a gift of thankfulness to you. However that's going to materialize, and whatever that's going to do in the lives of people, we need to understand that we need to live our lives in thanksgiving. Really, thanks living. And so people are struggling today, perhaps with issues in their life that are unresolved. One of those unresolved issues, my friend, may be that you don't even know Jesus at all as your Savior. And I want to affirm to you today that Jesus is calling out to you. And he says, look, if you will just put your trust in me, I will take care of you for all of eternity. If you just put your trust in me, I will help you resolve the issue that you face today. If you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you would love to do it today, I'm not going to ask you to walk forward. But can you right now, when no one's looking around, just raise your hand so I can pray for you? And if I know your name, I'll pray for you by name. And if I don't know your name, well, then the Lord knows. Anyone who wants to pray to receive Jesus today. Anyone who wants to say, Lord Jesus, there are things in my life for which I have grown embittered and I feel so afraid. But I want to turn my life around today. I want to live my life for Jesus. God, I want this church to pray for me in a special way. Would you raise your hand if you want us to pray for you? Yes, thank you. See those hands. Thank you. Hands going up all over the place. Thank you. You may put them down. My Father, you have seen the hands of those who cry out in desperation for you. For some, they just can't get past their own sin. They just can't get out of the way of themselves. Let them know that there is no care that is too heavy that you cannot bear. No sin so bad that you cannot forgive. And haven't already forgiven. That they stand clean before you. So whatever their need is, whatever their desire is, I saw hands from people of all ages, whether they're alone or afraid or despondent. There's a need there. And I ask that you meet today. Because our lives are precious to you. Thank you for freeing us from the chains of sin and doubt and fear, that our confidence can be in you and you alone. So, my Father, I give you thanks for this congregation, for these decisions made today. I ask your blessing on us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Why don't you stand and let's sing a song that'll lift all our spirits, all right? Stand and sing with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. God bless. Goodbye. Have a great day, and we'll see you Wednesday afternoon, evening, sometime. God